Hey everybody, how's it going? My name's Claire Bartlett, and you're watching and listening to Me and My Racket. It's the show about the tennis industry professionals sharing their passion, purpose, and connecting over the sport we all know and love. And today on the show, we have Carrie Buck. Carrie, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Carrie, I'm going to give a quick bio here. So for our viewers and our listeners, Carrie is currently the director of tennis at the Los Angeles Tennis Club in Los Angeles, California. She has worked in many different areas of the industry, working for USTA, the Tennis Channel, and World Team Tennis, to name a few. And she is a USPTA elite professional and my mentor in the USPTA mentoring program. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. How have you been doing? What's been going on?
It's crazy. It's crazy times right now for the tennis industry. But we're making steps and we're making progress, and things seem to be getting back to our new normal, as everybody calls it. We had our club was one of the first clubs in LA to shut down, and it was shut down for just almost exactly 2 months. And so we're getting back into it now. We've been open since the 15th and just trying to get back on track, but it's great to be back at the club and have that routine and that normalcy as best we can with the normalcy right now. But, members are happy. They're all glad to be out playing. We've got all sorts of crazy rules we have to follow, but they're all so happy to do it and get back on the court that it really hasn't been a problem for anybody. It's been great.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think, especially, when you're trying to keep everybody safe and everything, I think people are probably okay with some guidelines, as long as they can play their tennis
exactly.
And get out and about.
Yeah. Yeah, they wish we had to take all the benches and chairs off the courts and things like that. People wish they had a bench, but again, that's one of those things that we will put back when we're authorized to get it back done. And it's little baby steps is what we're taking. So, but it's all good, and people are so happy to be playing again. That's what really matters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, good to hear that good news for sure. Well, I want to dive in a little bit into your tennis story and how you got involved in the sport. So, how did you get started, and talk a little bit about your playing career and your professional career up until now?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much born into it. My father was played on the circuit before it was, the real pro era, the real open era, but played on the circuit and played college tennis at USC and everything. And we started running a club during the summers. I was only 9 months old the first summer. So, I mean, I was literally born into the tennis industry. We ran that club back east in Cape Cod for 22 summers. So, that's really where I grew up. And I was lucky. I was the Southern California kid that played hard courts during the winter and clay courts during the summer. So I had that mix, and a lot of the Southern Cal kids didn't get to play a lot of clay. We've got two clay courts here at the club, and I love it. But, my mom worked for the USTA for years in Southern California, running the adult and senior programs. I started teaching my brother and I have an older brother. Our first jobs were court maintenance at the club, dragging the drag room and sweeping the lines at lunchtime, things like that. So really, I was kind of just born into it. And luckily, it was a sport that I really loved. I played a lot as a junior. And knew that, I was one of those, I came out of college, I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. I had all these friends that had these internships lined up, and I was like, well, I can teach tennis till I figure it out, and realized that's really where I wanted to be. So I pretty much spent a lot of time in the tennis industry, from on-court coaching to sales rep for manufacturing companies to doing the media and working on the media end with Tennis Channel and at the USTA doing marketing, and now at the club back. It's kind of full circle all the way back to a club.
Yeah,
it's been fun, and I tennis has given me such a great opportunity, so many great opportunities to meet so many people and see amazing things and travel and all this stuff. It's just it's perfect.
No, for sure. Well, and so now, like with your role as the director of tennis, what does your typical week look like? Like, I know things haven't been typical, but let's say a new normal. What has your new normal been looking like?
Well, it's interesting because the LA Tennis Club is 100 years old. For 100 years, you've never had to have a court reservation to play. In fact, we didn't even take court reservations. It's the only place I knew that did that, but it worked really well for the facility. Now, it's training staff, it's sort of building that behavior of members have to book courts now, and they have to reserve courts, and the pros have to reserve courts for their lessons. And so a lot of my day-to-day right now is just working through all of that and helping everybody get used to this new app that we're using, and you know, just again, just changing the behaviors a little bit. But
Yeah.
and just making sure, you know, I mean, I'm spending a lot of time walking the courts, making sure people are doing their social distancing, things like that. Just making sure that everybody has a good experience and a safe experience,
Right.
and seeing what works and what doesn't work, and just being able to make adjustments right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's tricky because we remember what we used to be able to do, and you know, in the first week we couldn't, you know, we just now started to sell like water and Gatorades, you know, and things like that. So it's just little steps and you know, sort of relearning what we need to, you know, the processes and whatnot. But it's been good, you know. Training our cleaning crew that comes out. We've got our court set up on a stag.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Carrie, you're frozen for a second. I might be frozen on your end too. Let's see if we can get you back.
Everything down for as soon as one group leaves, and then the next group comes, and it's all back to normal. You know, it's all clean for them. So little things we never used to have to think about doing, but now it's just part of our daily lives.
Hey, sorry, I don't know if you noticed, but we froze up for a second.
Yeah, I did notice we froze up. Yes. Unfreeze us, Claire.
Well, so you mentioned, you know, a few of the challenges, and I know that's especially like particular to this time. What's been really rewarding about, you know, being in the tennis industry, especially like being where you are now? What do you really enjoy about it?
You know, one thing is just the people. I mean, anyone that knows me, I hate that cliche, I'm a people person, but I am. And being able to be, you know, I haven't been at a club for so long. I've always sort of been on the corporate side, and being able to be at a club and interact with these members and help them have such a great experience is, it's just really rewarding to see them have a good experience and to know that I can help them have that experience. I was, you know, so happy to be back at the club and be around members and be around people and have someone to talk to and things like that. But you know, without it always being a Zoom call. But yeah, you know, I mean, that's what is rewarding to me, is to be able to take the experience that I've had and the opportunities that I have, and try and give that back to somebody else. I mean, that's how we sort of got started in the mentor program together with USPTA. And that's my thought, was the idea of, you know, I've had, tennis has given me so much, and I want to help someone else have that same experience with tennis, because it's such a great sport, and you know, it's, there's so many opportunities, and now there's so many different ways to be in the tennis industry. It's not just about being on the court teaching anymore.
Well,
So.
and just as evidenced by like what we talked about with your bio, and you know, I looked at your resume, and I could just see like all the different areas you had been in, you know, besides being on court.
Right.
And it takes a lot of like, you know, of a growth mindset really, and like an entrepreneurial spirit, you know, thinking of yourselves in different ways. So, talk a little bit about how like you pivoted through those times, like with your
Yeah,
career.
well, I knew, I right out of college, I started teaching full time. I was teaching with Peter Berwash International, which is a management firm that manages facilities all over the world. I mean, it's a fantastic training program. That you go through, that every pro goes through, whether you've been teaching for 2 years or 22 years. You know, everyone's got to go through the training. And to this day, I still learn a lot. I still use a lot of the stuff I learned in training, not so much on court, obviously, but off the court. And one of the things that Peter Berwash International was really big on, and Peter himself was really big on, is that, you know, the tennis industry, in terms of coaching and being at a club, is really a service industry, and it's really about giving our customers and our clients the best possible experience, making sure that they're having fun, making sure that they're learning during their lessons, but really making sure they're having a good experience and want to come back. So that's something that's really stuck with me. And again, that was like starting right out of college. But I knew I didn't want to be on the court all the time. I knew I didn't want to teach on court forever, you know? So I thought, well, I had to make that move. I really wanted to stay in the tennis industry if I could. I had a great opportunity. From Bob Kramer at the, who was the, at that point, the tennis, the tournament director and the executive director for USTA Southern California, to come and help him sort of just be an assistant to whoever needed it running the ATP tour event that was at UCLA at the LA Tennis Center. So I jumped at that opportunity because I thought, okay, I'm gonna, it was hard. I was living in Hawaii at the time, so it was hard to move back to LA. But the opportunity to go and work at an ATP event and meet so many people and learn so much, something that I hadn't done before, you know, the behind the scenes at an event type thing. I jumped at the chance and I was there for about a year working with the tournament and then also in just in the office after the tournament was over. But learned a lot, made some great contacts, learned a little bit more of the event planning side of things and just what goes into an ATP tournament. Like, you know, fans go and they watch it, but wow, behind the scenes is so much. And so, you know, from there I then was like, okay, yes, I'm sticking with tennis. Tennis is what I know, tennis is what I love. You know, my dad used to tell me, if you can find something you love and you can make a career out of it, you're set, you know. So, you know, I then moved into manufacturing, where I was doing inside sales and big box stores for a tennis and golf apparel company. And I took a little bit of a break from tennis for a little while and was working in surf and beach and body glove wetsuits and things like that for a little bit. But I always knew I wanted to come back. And that's when, you know, eventually Tennis Channel came about. And I took a little bit of a step back. I'd been a national sales manager for a fitness company. And I took a little bit of a step back because I really wanted to get in the door at Tennis Channel. So you know, I took that chance and it was great. I was there for 9 years and I learned so much about the television industry, more about behind the scenes in the tennis industry itself, marketing. That was sort of right when social media started getting really big. So I did a lot of social media and was able to use the creativity on that side and things like that. So it was really just taking that love of tennis and finding and fitting it into something else and where I was. But, you know, and other facets of the industry, because like I said before, there's so much more to the tennis industry than just being on the court. You know, so and then you know, I was at World Team Tennis as a general manager last season, and now, you know, now back again, like I said, full circle from starting at a club to back to a club. But and you know, the experience that you gain in all these in any job you have, you can take to the next one and build even more. You know, just those what's the word I'm looking for? Those like not milestones, but like those key points of what makes you successful at one job will make you successful at another. You know, you can always adapt them and keep those
When
skills
you take
working.
your experience with you, you know, like you've said, you build on that experience and take it with you.
Right.
Well, so
Yeah.
what advice or suggestions would you have to offer for industry professionals, you know, looking to break in, or maybe somebody that's transitioning, you know, from a career to tennis? What do you have to say for those people?
I would say that, you know, don't be afraid to take a step back. I know a lot of teaching pros that would like to get off the court, but they're kind of afraid to, or they know they might not make as much money if they're not teaching, things like that. But if you really want to move forward, you may have to take some of those steps back a little bit first. And I think that, you know, networking is so important. You've got to make those contacts. This day and age, especially right now, I mean, there's so many people looking for jobs. There's so many people out there, and it really does help to know somebody. And timing is a lot of it as well, which we can't control. But you know, get yourself out there, build your brand. You know, that's something that we can do so well. I mean, if you go on to Instagram, there's pros out there that are doing such an amazing job of building their brand, and they're in like these little tiny towns someplace, but everybody knows them because they've really worked hard to do that. And that's important. And that's important when an employer's looking at stuff and they want to see that, wow, this person's out there and these people know them and they're respected and they, you know, they understand all this. So it's, you know, it is a tough transition. It was a tough transition for me to be, you know, off the court all the time and working like a 9-to-5 job. You know, it was weird. And having like a Monday through and having a Monday through Friday job even, because when we were teaching tennis, we definitely didn't have our weekends off. So it's a little different. It's but take the chance, believe that, you know, and set your goals and talk to a lot of people. Talk to people that have done it. You know, talk to people that have been on the court and moved off the court into whatever area they've moved off to, whether it's, you know, as a GM or whether it's as a sales rep or whatever, but talk to people. You know, and it's not necessarily, you're not necessarily, and you know, you can You can go into an interview for a job without any intention of taking that job. It's just fact finding and learning about it and making some more contacts. The first job I interviewed at Tennis Channel wasn't something that I thought I would probably do. And they felt the same thing. They wanted somebody that had a lot of cable experience, which I had none, obviously. But 2 months later, they called me for a different one. You know, get in there and talk to people. Call people at, you know, if you're looking to get to another club or something like that, or get off the court, call a GM from another club and find out how they did it. And really learn from your peers and from your colleagues. There's always, you can always learn more. And it's interesting to me how people think where they have to learn from. I mean, I learn stuff from the little kids that I teach sometimes, you know. It's just always that, you know, if you look on my Instagram, there's a hashtag that says always more to learn. And I'm really about, whether it's a business stuff learning or just learning about, you know, interactions or whatever it might be, we can always continue to learn. And I think that, you know, it just gives you another tool in the toolkit to get to that next step.
Right.
So I guess in a nutshell, I'd just say talk to as many people as you can.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. We'll switch gears a little bit. Who are your heroes and mentors, and who have those people been in your life through your professional career?
Heroes and mentors. I've had a lot of mentors. Every club I was at, I sort of had one person that really was that mentor. When I first started, it would have been at the Royal Lahaina Tennis Ranch when I first got like my real tennis job, not just at our club. And the tennis director there was a man named Bernard Guzman, who was just amazing. And he taught me so much, and he was so easy to talk to. And I just learned so much from him. My dad, I would say, you know, it's weird to put your dad as a mentor, but he truly was, because he taught me how to teach, and he taught me how to run a club, and he taught me all of those types of things. So, you know, I learned a ton from my parents and just a lot of industry people. I mean, I could go on and on with names of people that I've worked with throughout the industry and who have also been in a lot of different facets of the industry as well.
Right.
From people like John Embry at USPTA, Henry Talbert, who used to be the executive director for the Southern Cal section for years, long before I ever worked there, but he was a family friend and he'd been at the White Plains office as well with the USTA, I believe. Actually, he's one of the people that started league tennis, really got league tennis going with the USTA. But he was amazing, and he was so supportive and so just wanted me to succeed. And it just felt so good to have that person that was just on your team. So that's another thing. If you're, you know, it's so important that people have mentors. There's a lot of pros out there that, you know, unfortunately they won't like it if I say this, but it's true. There's a lot of pros out there that think they know everything already.
Yep.
And they can do it on their own and they don't need any help. Find a mentor, you know, find someone that can help you get to that next level. And it's okay to feel like you need some help on things. And once you can admit that you might be able to learn from somebody else and have some help, you're going to just skyrocket, you know?
Yeah.
So mentors are important. And you learn from them, and you can learn from them, their experience. And, you know, heroes. Well, I put my dad up there as a hero, obviously, but I wouldn't be doing what I was doing if he wasn't around. But, you know, and I've done a lot with wheelchair tennis. You know, that was something that I sort of fell into, but just fell very hard when I, you know, really passionate about it. And I would say that Dan James, who used to run the USTA program for wheelchair, I would say he'd be like my wheelchair tennis hero, you know, because he just loves it and is so passionate about it. And so, I guess I could go on these people.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough question because I know there's so many people that come to mind. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what do you like to do when you're off court? I know there's not a lot of time that is off court or not with tennis, but what else do you like to do in your other time?
Well, right now, I mean, it's kind of like with this new normal, there's not a lot of off time. I'm definitely a beach person. I just love to be at the beach. If I can watch a sunset, I've had a good day. If I can go to the beach and watch the sunset, that's like one of my favorite ways to end the day. Doesn't happen all the time right now just because of schedules. But I love, the other thing I love to do is, it's kind of funny, if I'm not on the tennis court, I love to be on the paddle courts. Pop tennis and paddle. I love playing that. The courts are still closed here, so we can't play right now. We can play pickleball, which is a smaller court, but we can't play paddle tennis. We haven't figured out what's going on with that yet, but I love to get out and play some paddle. I've been playing it for like 2 or 3 years now only. It's really fun. And love to just, again, once we're able to, love to just get together with friends and hang out, you know. You realize as you get older that you don't need tons and tons and tons of friends. You just need to be around the ones that really count. So definitely have missed that over the past couple of months.
No, I think that especially with all that's going on, I think everybody's realizing that just that time doesn't matter, you know, like where you are, it's being with those people that matter and that you love. So
Exactly.
it's huge.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if you have a bucket list, but I wanted to ask you first if you had a bucket list, and if you do, if there's anything you have on it that you're looking forward to doing.
Yeah, I do have a bucket list. I've been lucky enough to cross some of those things off, like skydiving and climbing the Sydney Bridge and things like that. One of the things I would love to do, and who knows when and if it would ever happen, is I've always wanted to be able to do a safari in Africa.
That would
And that's, a friend of mine actually just was there and actually had to cut her trip short to get home because they were, she couldn't get home from Africa if she stayed much longer. So that's something that I've always wanted to do. Another was to get to all four Grand Slams, which I finally was able to do. So it's a lot of the stuff. It's kind of funny because some of my bucket list stuff are really like a place I want to see, like going to Africa or something like that. But some of them are almost like challenges. Like I just want to, I'm one of those people that if I'm not challenged, if I get kind of stale, then I'm just not happy. I want to have those challenges. So that was, climbing the Sydney Bridge a couple of years ago during the Australian Open was crazy for me because I'm not somebody that really likes a lot of heights. So jumping out of an airplane, again, crazy. I'm jumping out of an airplane and I'm afraid of heights. But just those challenges, like, just to see what you can do and try and get to that, again, get to that next level. So, but right now, the top of my list would probably be that trip to Africa. I'd love to be able to do that.
Well, hopefully, I mean, well, and I know you love to travel. We talked about this. Hopefully, the travel restrictions won't be for too long. But I mean, obviously, we all want to be safe. But I know
Yes,
for
of
travelers
course.
out there, it's very hard not to be able to
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, with your job as well. I mean, I don't travel as much as I used to, but I get, I kind of get itchy when I'm not getting on a plane and every month. So
It
it's
feels
hard.
something's off.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that darn cliche, the new normal. We've got to get used to it. But I think there's some good things that can come out of it.
There are.
Like right now, a lot of the clubs here, we're only allowed to play singles right now. And what's one of the things that's always been a hurdle with our sport, especially with the kids, they want to play team sports, right? They want to play soccer, they want to play baseball. Well, right now in Southern California, at least you can't play soccer and baseball, but you can play tennis. So, can we figure out a way to turn that into a positive and get even more people out to play tennis?
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a negative, but we can make it a positive because we can get them all out there playing singles. So I think that, there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity to revamp a program at your club or something like that. So I think, even though we've got this new normal, getting creative and adapting is going to open up some other doors for us, I think. You look at all the clubs that are doing takeout now, like all the restaurants in LA are doing takeout now. A lot of the clubs across the country are doing a pretty good business with takeout meals for their members. So that's something they probably never thought about doing, So again, there's that another, that one door shut, but another one open. So it's just to, get creative with it and think outside the box and there's all kinds of great groups out there. There's a great Facebook group that the USPTA has put together. It's the USPTA, I think it's the COVID-19 task force or whatever. But there's a great Facebook page with so many resources on it. And there's the Tennis Industry United that has so many resources on it. So, it's out there and it's just a matter of, getting used to our new normal and doing what we can do.
No, exactly. Well, tell us what's going on in your world right now, you know, with the club or anything you want to promote. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, well, the LA Tennis Club, it's really kind of a cool, it's a very old club. We're celebrating our 100-year anniversary. It's the oldest equity club in Southern California last year. We last year, yeah, last year, year before, I guess they were inducted into the Hall of Fame as one of their founding clubs. So we
Okay.
do a lot with other clubs in terms of their members can come to ours and we can go to their clubs and things like that, and reciprocal membership type things that people can come and play at the club if they're a member at the West Side Tennis Club or the Hall of Fame Club in Newport, those type of things. So that's kind of cool, and it's really the history of the club. It was really in its heyday when it first started. It opened in 1920, and there were so many great players that played here.
Yeah.
And we there was a pro event here for a long before it actually was the pro event that was at UCLA,
Yeah.
moved from the LA Tennis Club to UCLA. So we've had
Okay.
tons of all kinds of great players that have played here and the great history, and it's a place where when the pros came to town, they would come and practice here. And so as well as the Hollywood stars that played here. I mean, Errol Flynn used
Yeah.
to like in the bar all the time and things like that.
Oh,
So it's got a really and it's really fun to be able to be part of this centennial year with them. I've only been at the club since December, so it's really been fun to, well, until we got shut down for 2 months, that wasn't fun, and a lot of plans changed. We're hoping to sort of kick off our centennial celebrations over
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend, which was put on hold, obviously, but we'll still, we'll still have those plans, and we'll still try and move it into the fall and have a nice big celebration, because it's pretty cool to know that you're one of the oldest clubs out there and 100 years old.
Yeah,
So
no,
it's
that
pretty awesome.
is something right.
So it's fun to be a part of that and try and figure out how to make that a special celebration for our members.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I hope everything goes well and all the best. And thanks so
Yeah.
much again for coming on. It was fun
Well,
talking with
thanks for
you.
having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
I know, it's good to see you too. We talk on the phone, but it's good to see you actually.
Exactly.
Well, thanks again. And to our viewers and
All
listeners,
right,
thanks.
thank you.
Yeah, and thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And if you want to follow us on YouTube, you can subscribe down below, and we have a little notification button too, so you don't miss any content. So go ahead and click that. And we are on Facebook and Instagram at Me and My Racket, so you can check us out there. And we are now on Spotify, so if you don't have time to watch and you want to just listen, you can find us there too. I hope everybody has a good day. We will see you all next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye.
everybody.